eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Let's talk about the Patriots because they beat the Dolphins. I want to ask you about the Dolphins first and foremost. I didn't get a chance to talk to Baldy about this last week, but I did text and I said, there's no way they can play Tua. And Baldy responded saying, they're not going to.
No.
You don't feel that way. Dolphins are 8-3. Or they were 8-3 at one point. And now it looks like the playoffs are not going to happen, right? It's what happens with Tua's situation, specifically before we talk about the Patriots winning this game?
Yeah, look, even if they were to make the playoffs, Tua wouldn't be playing in the divisional round either. Like, they're not even thinking about trying to clear him for practice. They're not – it's not where they are, and it's not where they will be.
And Jason, at this point, is this four concussions we know of?
I don't know if there was one in Alabama or not. I'm not. It's at least two this year.
Okay.
I think there was some uncertainty, right? With the original situation where he appeared to be concussed, right? And then he played again and then had the seizure-like moment where he was shut down. I'm not positive whether that first one was absolutely designated a concussion or not, but he's had repeated brain trauma this season. He's had repeated blows to the head. He's had repeated instances where he's needed significant time off to recover. Whether he got enough, I guess, is a different discussion. So yeah, Carl, I don't know what the future holds for Tua. I don't know that Tua knows what the future holds for Tua. I do know, here in Maryland, his brother, Talia, is the quarterback for the Terps. And they played in a bowl game, and Talia was doing a lot of interviews around the bowl game, and obviously they were asking about Tua. And, he said he thinks at some point his brother, the drive, the desire, the want to play football is still there. And knowing the competitor is, he thinks at some point he gets back there. But no one knows what that timetable is or when that is. And I guess the more rest, the better. But – yeah, at some point it comes back to the business of football. And at some point the Miami Dolphins, I think they're going to have to fortify their quarterback position no matter what. I think that's a team now that's going to have to and Teddy Bridgewater may still fit that mode, but Teddy Bridgewater's hurt so much that, like, that number two quarterback, you're going to have to go into a season, if Tua is back next year, thinking that this is a guy who might have to play a significant portion of the future because of the concussion history of our starter. And maybe Tua just decides, I'm taking a year off, or I'm taking 2 years off, or he does what Andrew Luck did and just said, I'm going to move on to other things that I find are going to bring me not as much joy, but certainly not as much pain as football. And express myself in different ways. But for the Miami Dolphins, who, you're right, are not going to the playoffs. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen. And even if they do, they're not going anywhere in the playoffs. They're going to have – that plan B is going to have to be pretty strong. Like, I think it's got to be a Jacoby Brissett type guy. It's got, like, we just saw Jacoby Brissett play 11, 12 games and lost his job to a dude who hasn't played as well as him since. I think, you know, and Brissett's been there before in other iterations. I mean, the backup's going to matter. I'll put it that way.
I said this, Jason, on my national show when Tua went down and was convulsing on the field, and I'll say it again. He needs to give it up. I'm not trying to be morbid. I'm not trying to be – I don't want to see Tua die on the field. And we're in a situation, we're talking about DeMar Hamlin. It's totally different. But you've got to think about the next 65 years of your life. And here's the problem, and this is why I say this, okay? And I don't know what Tua is going to do, to your point. I have no idea. And whatever he decides – and this is hard because Tua is chasing this bag. Tua is a couple of seasons away from securing $200, $300 million, whatever it's going to be – potentially, and it's hard to tell anybody who's chased their dreams and put in this kind of work to say, you've got to step away. But I do know this. We don't know the effects of CTE until these guys are gone. We don't do autopsies when they're alive. But when they're gone, you can go down the list of guys, CTE, CTE, CTE. It was the reason why their lives were somewhat cut short in many cases. And I just think at this point where you're Tua Tagovailoa and you're saying, I love the game. You're a legend in Alabama. You won a championship. You played on incredible teams. Tua's not going to want for money. He's always going to have a place in football because of his legacy that he built in college and being a top pick. So you've got to just think about this. And if I'm him, okay, I know I'm older and I'm wiser, Jason, but I'm thinking about this and I'm going, bro, it ain't worth it. Because the next two or three times I get concussed, what are they going to tell me? How much time do I need off? Jason, do we really know how much time it takes for the brain to heal? Do we?
No, I mean, there's so much more we have to learn. But I don't know that – I'm not looking at it from the money side of it. I think it's more – like we come to think of ourselves as different things. Like I was a – journalist and a beat writer, and then I was whatever, an insider, or I was a radio host, or I was this, right? And you're able in most sort of industries, or a lot of them, to recraft yourself and shift or whatever. Like, he's a quarterback. Like, somewhere in his heart of hearts, his mind of minds, he sees himself as a quarterback, as a leader on the field, as a field general. He comes from a football family, right? Hawaii. And that culture, the Polynesian culture, faith, family, and football, it's inbred from him. It's being spoken to him around the family before he knows what words are. Like, he's dreamed his entire life of fulfilling these life goals and getting a D1 scholarship, winning a national championship, being a first-round draft pick. A lot of people thought he was going to be first overall for a long time. Tank for Tua. Turning an NFL franchise around. Going to a Super Bowl. Mom, I'm going to Disney World. Like, I can't imagine how much of his off time was spent dreaming, daydreaming about that stuff. And then think of the millions of hours he's put in. And he hasn't lived that long. Think of how many of them were consumed by driving to a practice, driving home from a practice, driving to a 7-on-7, coming home from a 7-on-7, throwing in the backyard with my brother, watching film, watching college games, watching pro games, playing Madden. Like, and now you're, what is he, 25? And now it's gone, like, now, hey, you got to step back. It's over. You're facing career mortality at this dream job, this thing that only 32 people on the planet do at any given time. It's being pulled away from you right when you were the number one ranked quarterback. You were the top rating in the NFL.
He was.
Even in that game where you got hit, you were dominating the Green Bay Packers, who now are everybody's darlings again. You were outplaying Aaron Rodgers until your brain got bruised again. Like, and now we're like 2 weeks away from, and people want to know like what the future holds. Like, man, just like, that's a lot. That's a lot. Like, I've had to re-envision myself in various ways at various points in time, and it was nowhere remotely on this scale. And it
it's
gets
hard.
Your mind swirling.
It's hard.
Like, You're taking all this away from him right when he felt closer, you know, closest to ever than establishing himself as an elite top 10 NFL quarterback. And look, he's driven, man. You ask Saban about this kid, like, he wants it. He's a super kid. He's uber dedicated. And he's had a chip on his shoulder. He's heard all this stuff. You're too frail. You're too fragile. And this is now a derivative of that almost. Like, and there's nothing he can do about it. And, like, That's a lot. You know, that's a lot to have to step back and on the fly while your brother's still playing in a ball game and while your brothers in the Miami Dolphins are still going out there and losing without you every week. So I like whatever the future holds, the future holds. I just, that's a difficult thing to have extinguished potentially.
It is.
In the span of whatever it was, 10 weeks between the first concussion and this last one. Like, so I don't know, you know, I just want nothing more than for that young man to have the best, most fulfilling life he can. And for him, it's probably really hard to conceive of that without football being a part of it now and for a while going forward.
It's hard for older guys to conceive it when their time is done. It's always hard to turn the page when you're moving on from something you love, right? You know, I've thought about it, Jason. You've thought about it. People say, well, you know, you can broadcast for the rest of your life. Maybe. You can write for the rest of your life. Maybe. But at some point, whether it's your choice or mine, somebody's going to say, your time has come, okay?
Well, and he's not moving on from it. It's being taken from him.
It has, but it's
like,
hard.
You know what I mean? Like, this isn't on his terms at all.
But let me say this about it. And here's where I think the people around Tua, and this is the difference. Who's talking to him about not the next five, but the next 25? Yeah. Who's in his circle that says, Tua, I love you, bro. There's nothing I wouldn't do for you. But you really got to think about this. You got to think about where you want to be and what kind of life you want to live. And that's all I'm saying. I'm not telling you that he shouldn't, you know, think about all those things you're talking about. Because what you say.
And I'm not saying he should play. I'm just saying this is complicated. Like,
it is. It is. Very much so. All right. Let's talk about the Patriots. They win the game against the Dolphins. We're talking about Tua Tagovailoa. Jason says he's done. Baldy says he's done.
He's not playing football.
This season.
In whatever the Miami Dolphins season.
Yes.
Constitutes, he's not going to be a part of
the remainder
of their football season.
There's
beyond
no reason
that,
to.
I don't know. Yeah.
All right, Patriots win. They're still alive. I still think they're somewhat frauds because that offense is blah. I know they're winning, and everybody now is back on the Belichick train saying, look at what he's done, and see, the offensive coordinators don't matter. And if the playoffs started today, by the way, Patriots 7th seed at Bills. Which would be the Bills would be the 2 seed because the Chiefs would get the bye as we sit right now in the week 18. Okay.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Yeah, the Patriots are, look, I mean, they're patently mediocre, which is what you get when you water down the playoffs and allow 7 in. Like, this is what the league wanted. This is what you're going to get. I mean, there's not enough quarterbacks on the planet. There's not enough great coaches, truly great coaches, to reach a point where we're ever going to be looking at the 7th seed and being like, boy, that's a really good, like, that's a hell of a team. I can't believe they're the 7th seed. Like, I just don't, in a league of parity where everything's meant to be water level, are you really going to have 7 special teams in both conferences. Maybe every once in a while, it might be an anomaly here or there. A really good team suffers a bunch of injuries, right? And everybody gets healthy late and they scramble in as the seven. But man, when they're all together, there's something. I mean, it can happen, but this ain't that. Like this ain't that. In fact, the seven, especially if it's somehow Detroit, and a lot of people will say Green Bay.
Yeah.
I'm a skeptic with them. But like, if the Lions are the seven in the NFC, if that happens, like they're flawed. They're not great, but they're not patently mediocre. They have like, there's some special stuff they can do. Outside of the bookend pass rushers, because Uche's come on, like Judon Uche, all right, I'll buy that. Like outside of that, I don't, like they've got some good corners. I don't think they're great corners. When they face teams that can throw the ball in a prolific manner, they tended to suffer. They've got a historic coach, no doubt about that. But like, you know.
I'm not buying it either.
They don't do a whole lot for me. No, like, I don't find them particularly interesting. I don't find the offense particularly interesting. It's very solid defense.
The thing about the Patriots over the last, just say the last decade, when Brady was there and they're going to Super Bowls, is they score points. They score points. You know, you could know that they were going to score points. This team, that's not the case. I got a couple more things we got to get to, Jason, before we get out of here. Jason Lock on 4, Carl Dukes, Brian Baldinger. This is In the Huddle. Subscribe Tuesdays and Thursdays. We put out new episodes and we talk about everything NFL related. Packers 41, Vikings 17. I've told you all season, I don't buy the Vikings. I've told you guys all season. So Packers are still alive. I know this is, you know, they're going to come to the last game of the season against the Lions. They got to win. Lions, we'll see where that goes in week 18. What's going on with the Packers now, right? They've gone on this win streak that everybody thought was probably impossible. Things have played out magically for them with other teams winning and losing and setting them up for success. They clinch a playoff spot with the win against the Lions in week 18.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'll say this. The special teams there has been a disaster forever. And now they've got the best return guy in the game. That's a big advantage. The margins are slim. I'm buying that. I've seen this kid do it with too much regularity now. He can change a game, and that gives him a bolt of momentum. That gives him the energy that the offense used to provide from a big play, from Aaron Rodgers doing something, you know, miraculous, throwing the ball 70 yards in the air. Like, so I think that energy and that spark, that game flow changer is coming from special teams now. So that's okay. And the defense is certainly playing better than it was early in the season.
Four turnovers back-to-back weeks. Yeah.
They've changed the scheme around a little bit. They realized that they were too set in their own ways, too predictable. You know, the holes that you could exploit were there all the time. So I'm buying that. And when they can run the ball like they did in that game, now part of the reason they were able to run the ball like they did in that game was because they got the two early return touchdowns, and now it just, you know, the game script is completely flipped. And so let's just run it on them and see if they can stop it. And they really couldn't. So look, they've made strides. They've come a long way. And then, you know, they control their own destiny, which didn't seem possible 6 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. Do I think that they're going to run the gauntlet in the NFC and go from the seventh seed to the last team standing there? I don't. I'm not convinced they beat the Lions, even if the Lions don't have anything to play for. So, and Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs the last 5 years
has not been good. He's not been good. You can say it.
He's not putting anybody on his back.
Nope.
He's looked like he started to hit the wall in a lot of these years. And they're going to have to run the gauntlet on the road. You know, which if they're in a dome, probably helps them. But so, yeah, I mean, hats off to them. They've made a run that not many people saw coming. I thought they'd be playing Jordan Love by now because there'd be no reason not to. But I just think the idea that like Aaron Rodgers is the reason for this, I think is you're not really watching. I mean, the defense has dialed it up and the special teams has vastly improved. And they see, you know, Jones has been on the injury report a lot this year, but he seems to be all right now. And so that's what if they do become what people thought they were going to be in the summer, I don't think it's going to be because they're beating people 45-42. I think it's going to be because of the things I just talked about. Rodgers, don't bleep it up in the red zone. Run the ball between the 20s. Play better defense. Get explosion plays from special teams.
Yeah, Aaron Jones has been much better. All right, one last thing before we get out of here. Two questions. One, Ravens lose to the Steelers 16-13.
Not a surprise. Called it. I literally called it 16-13. Steelers on the money line. Ravens under 18.5. Game under 35.5.
You did. You surely did. We asked you about Lamar Jackson last week. I'll ask you again. Do we see? We don't see him until the playoffs, period, right? He doesn't play in week 18.
Look, it's even more complicated now because we don't know how the NFL is going to pick up its schedule.
Correct.
So that Ravens-Bengals game, obviously the outcome of last night's game would have had, whether the Bengals won or lost, would have determined whether the division is still at play or not in the AFC North. Even accounting for that, at this point, I don't think Lamar Jackson plays until the Ravens face their next elimination game.
Okay.
Which would not be until the postseason because they've already clinched at least a playoff berth. Winning the division and getting that home game is great, but he hasn't practiced in a month. The idea that he'd go out there and practice limited twice and then play a football game where he might be knocked out for the duration. I saw Harbaugh's face when he lost J.K. Dobbins for the year in a preseason game a year ago that he never should have been playing in the first place. You know, and Dobbins last week referenced, like, man, where would my career be if I didn't get hurt in a preseason game? Preseason game. I played in every preseason game, and I got hurt in a game that counts. And here we are 18 months later, and I'm finally starting to feel like myself again. I wonder where my career would be. I'm in year three, the year after which I should be getting paid. I wonder where my leverage would be if I didn't get hurt in a preseason game. He just said this last week.
Yeah.
And Harbaugh has become incredibly risk-averse based on all the injuries they've had. So, again, Lamar Jackson has missed like 12 straight practices. He's not out there like in a sweatshirt, throwing it around and running around. He's not out there. He's not even on the practice field. So to think he's going to come and – again, and he's going to have to ramp it up. He's not just going to go out there and take every rep. So I've been saying for a while on my show here in Baltimore, like, I don't think he's playing until the stakes are truly do or die. And at this point, that's not going to be to the playoffs. So if I'm a Ravens fan, my biggest thing I'm watching this week is that practice report. If he's not practicing limited at least by Thursday, then I'm starting to wonder about the whole kit and caboodle. Because it's going to take more than a week. You see what I'm saying? So if he does nothing this week, then that means the odds of him in a – you know how it is. It's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday's a walkthrough. It's really two days.
To think that
he's going to go from now 5 weeks of nothing to a limited practice, a full practice, and then he's going to go beat the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, and put us on this horse bleep offense on his back and beat the Bengals, whether it's in Baltimore, Cincinnati, Kalamazoo, Antarctica. It's not happening.
It's not. And right now, by the way, with nothing changing last night because of the postponement of the game, Ravens at Bengals. It'd be 6-3 right now as we speak. Last thing, Steelers, Mike Tomlin. He's never had a losing season. They win in the final week of the season. He won't have a losing season.
And they're still alive.
It's absolutely incredible for me, Jason, to think about this. 16 years. He's the second longest tenured coach in the NFL behind Belichick. I'm not saying we don't give him respect. I'm not saying we don't appreciate what Tomlin's done. Okay, maybe we don't.
I go on the radio in Pittsburgh every Monday morning. I don't think Harbaugh takes a lot of bleep here in Baltimore, and Tomlin gets the same stuff there because they had the early success and they won the Super Bowl early and everybody got spoiled. And it's like, oh my God, it's been 10 years since you've been to a championship game. Well, take that Belichick thing out of it, and that's the NFL.
Do you realize how hard it is to not have a losing season? Bro. Your entire tenure as a head football coach, how the roster turns over, how he dealt with the Antonio Brown crap, how all this stuff is played out. In a year where you lose Big Ben and you don't start your rookie Kenny Pickett immediately.
He managed to go to the playoffs with the carcass of Big Ben twice. And they were down for a half season. You got your kidney shots and body blows on them. For 8 weeks, they were 2-6 at their bye, and everybody's spitting on them. They're one of the best teams in football. Like, most teams go from the end of that thing to the next thing, and they're down for a couple years.
Years.
He was down for half a season.
That's my point.
And that was only because he had to play Mitch freaking Trubisky because he wasn't sure if this kid was ready or not, which was the right thing to do long term. Had he played this kid the whole time, they would be in the playoffs. And that's what they're holding against them in Pittsburgh. And I'm like, you people are crazy. You're allowed to be down for eight games. You're allowed to be the Pits for eight games. There's a lot of owners who've been the Pits for 20 years, 10 years, 8 years. Like, stop it.
It's crazy.
He's a legend, man. He's
unbelievable. It just is. He handles situations so eloquently and handles players so perfectly. I know you've talked to guys that have played for Tomlin. I've talked to various guys, and it's really impressive, man. I'm just going to put it there. I don't know what happens week 18, but if they win, and you're telling me this guy has survived another year with a rookie quarterback and not had a losing season, I mean, come on. I just don't know what it's going to take for you to appreciate what the hell's going on there in Pittsburgh. Jason, we got to run, man. Great stuff. We will look ahead. Guys, we have no idea how the scheduling and what's going to happen with the league. Follow Jason on social media. I'm at Put 'Em Up, C Dukes. Of course, Jason writes for the Washington Post as well. We're going to keep our circles, you know, with our people in the NFL and try to figure things out. If we hear anything, you guys follow us and let us, you know, let you guys know. But we don't know. So right now, as we leave you on this Tuesday, there's still a lot up in the air. And as we leave you again, prayers for Damar Hamlin and his family as we are still thinking about that. They're saying the next couple of days, knock wood, are going to be critical. We don't know about the medical side of this, but that's what doctors are saying. He suffered a cardiac arrest and is right now still in critical condition in the hospital. Jason, great job as always, man. Once again, it's In the Huddle. Carl Dukes, Put 'Em Up, along with Jason LaConfora, Brian Baldinger. We'll bring you a new episode on Thursday. Subscribe to In the Huddle, like us, and make sure you don't miss an episode. Have a great day, everybody.